Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up your stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
It's not snowing here, so I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's always a bonus in the middle of winter.
We got some the other day, and now we're getting some Tuesday, which is the night before my day, so I'm a little nervous about that.
Oh, yeah, just what you need, another just little curveball, right?
Yeah, they're saying snow Tuesday night, on Tuesday, and possibly a little bit on Wednesday in the morning, and I don't know what time it is. You know, when you're getting something like this done, you got to call the day before.
Right.
So I have no clue what's going on, and I don't know what the snow is going to be, and if things will be canceled. So, like you said, it's just another snowball in the whole monkey wrench going on over here. Yeah.
No pun intended, right?
Exactly. But, I'm a little on edge as it is, let alone having to worry about getting there in the snow.
Right. You know, well, hopefully it goes out to sea and it's not an issue.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping for. Hopefully, or at least it heads north a little bit. Oh, that would come up to you.
Yeah, you know, we're in a rut now where I think we're going to get hit every couple days, it looks like. So we knew it was coming.
As long as it's not as bad as last year.
Right.
So you ready for the big game today?
Yeah, not really. I'll casually watch it, but I'm not really that jazzed up for it.
You pulling for anybody?
No, don't really care.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for Carolina.
Don't matter.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for the Panthers. Manning going out on top would be a great story for the NFL. But for me, I'm ready to move on from him. I'm tired of preferential treatment. He's one of the, he gets everything, so I'm kind of over it. I just wanted to move on. I'm ready for the new era of football. You know me, I got my Doug Peterson here now. I got my Eagles back, finally.
Right.
I'm looking forward to moving forward.
There you go.
So, but I don't know, anything else new on the home front?
No, everything's just routine stuff.
Ready, the sad part is usually you have a Disney trip coming up in the spring that you're usually looking forward to. Now you're waiting back to, how's it feel to wait? I have to wait till Christmas.
I can't stand it. I really can't stand it, and the more and more it goes, a long weekend quick hitter is more likely as each day goes on, because I don't know if I can go that long without going down there.
Oh, it's tough. I know it's tough. You like having that one plan. See, I think it's harder on you, too, because me and Brent have done more by the seat of our pants trips.
Right.
Where we'll find, I'll see an ad for a deal or something will come across my page on the site, and I'll get a deal, and within a few weeks we're going. I mean, we've already gone with this. The one time they shut my wife's lab down in July for they had to update some things, so they gave her 2 weeks off in July.
Right.
It was a rare occasion, and we found out like the week before we were headed down because my brother and my godson and all were down there, so we didn't even tell them we were coming.
Right.
And that's one of the times we stayed at the Swan and Dolphin, because I got the deal for like $121 a night, because I told you can get some deals at the summertime there.
Right.
So we just rolled. Next thing you know, we're down there. So I'm a little more used to just booking at the end. I know you like to have that whole year in advance. And I've had them trips too. When you go 40 times, you have both. But I think I've done more of the seat of the pants trips than you have. Probably half of mine have been by the seat of my pants.
Yeah, and I mean, we used to be like that too, for the most part. But once you buy DBC, I
Yeah.
mean, you can book 11 months out, so you almost have to, particularly if you want to get, beach club during food and wine or some of the other resorts other than your home resort. So we're always, I mean, except for this time, it's been many years that we haven't had, at least one trip booked, if not two.
Yeah, well, the good thing is you'll be able to save some points because you're doing the Poly. At this time, you're doing your out of pocket because you want to do the Poly,
Right.
and it's going to be a special one. You've been there enough, so try to think of it. This is going to be a very, very special trip.
It'll, there's a payoff at the end, as they say, but
I think
it's
you'll feel
still.
even better once you book that too.
Oh, yeah.
Once it's
And
in the
not having,
books.
I mean, it's been many years that we haven't, like I said, had something booked. It feels weird.
Well, maybe you'll kidnap me one of these days. After I'm healthy and better here, maybe you'll kidnap me.
There you go.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd tell my wife not to put the APB out on me too quick. I don't want to get you in trouble until at least you drop me off. They can pick you up once we're down there, but not on the way.
Yeah, wait 3 or 4 days before you call that in.
Exactly. So, all right, my friend, you want to get into a little news?
Yeah, a couple things going on here. I know we mentioned this a couple of shows ago, but Kylo Ren is now appearing at Star Wars Launch Bay. I think when we had reported it, it was that it was a coming attraction, if you will.
Exactly.
But yeah, now you can encounter one of the newest characters from the Star Wars universe, the villain from The Force Awakens, Kylo Ren. So, yeah, you get them photo ops now, and the kids can meet the new character from the new Star Wars film. So that's all good.
Basically, he's the new Darth Vader,
Yeah.
is the way I'm getting it. I mean, me and you got to get off these stools and quit drinking on Sunday and head out to see Star Wars so we can catch up on this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we again, everybody knows we're not the biggest Star Wars fans. We're not haters. We're just down the road with it.
Right.
It's kind of like how you are with Test Track. You love it, but you don't have to go on it all the time.
Exactly.
And that's how it is with Star Wars for both of us. When I see it, I know I'm really gonna like it. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm not gonna feel like I shouldn't have gone, because there's been movies that I know I shouldn't have seen. Like, it's like, oh my God, I just wasted that hour and a half of my life. I could have been shoveling snow. It's that bad. You know what I mean? But I think we both need to get off our butts and see this movie sooner than later.
Yeah, oddly enough, I was listening a little bit to Radio Harambe yesterday, and they actually, it was an older show, but from a couple weeks ago, not that old, but they actually did a review of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and they gave it a glowing review, and it was spoiler riddled, so
Yeah.
I listened to it. They advise, if you haven't seen it, to not listen, but it didn't bother me,
No,
because,
because we're that way. I
exactly,
don't
but
even bother me if I know the ending. The biggest reason I want to go and be our guest, Mike, he's been giddy with laughter over how great it is. You know what I'm saying? He loved it. I haven't heard a bad word about it. John Peters, our buddy from the show, our partner, he can't wait to see it again. He was talking about seeing it again with his kids. So, I'm just looking forward to seeing it, because with Star Wars Land being built, me and you need to know all the little intricacies of the show. We need to know the inside jokes.
Oh yeah. I'm sure you'd enjoy the attractions even more, and you'll know what you're looking at, and maybe different references or little jokes here and there. So yeah, it all ties in. I will see it at some point, but yeah, those guys, Mike and them over at Radio Harambe, I mean, they were saying it was as good as any of the first three, and maybe even better. And that's debatable, I'm sure, by anybody that's a Star Wars fan. But I guess that their main point was that Disney proved itself, and that there were a lot of skeptics when they had bought the franchise that they would ruin it and Disney-fy it, for the hardcore Disney Star Wars fans. And again, this was their opinion, and they did the franchise well, and they were able to make a movie that, like I said, in their view, was as good as any of the first three. So that's good to hear.
It's kind of, and I kind of probably look at it, they're Star Wars fans. Like when Disney goes, it's the same way as when Disney goes in and upgrades Haunted Mansion or upgrades Pirates, and everybody's afraid they're going to ruin it. And then they
Right.
end up, some people liked it better the original way, some people liked the new way, and then some people were happy with both. And that's probably kind of the same way it is with the Star Wars. There's always going to be the one or two that likes the nostalgia of it, the you know, the old school way.
And yeah, a little bit different there, though, that those were Disney-owned you know, franchises or attractions. This was, you know, an acquired property that, you know, that they bought from Lucas. So a little bit different, but I get what you're saying.
But they're still going to be the – I'm not talking about the Disney geeks. I'm talking about the outside Star Wars fan that loves Star Wars and not Disney. There's going to be some that will like the new movie as much and others that would be upset because Disney has it now and the original was the best.
You know, right.
Yeah, that's what I was pointing at. I was going on the other side. But Disney usually does, for the most part, the reason we drink the Kool-Aid is they do the right thing most of the time. They're usually right in the end, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Except for the prices, and give us Park Hopper.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know. I think it'll be better. I want to see it so when I'm sitting in one of the new restaurants or the cantinas or whatever and there's a picture on the wall or there's a certain artifact or something there that I actually know what it is as I'm enjoying my dinner or lunch.
Yeah, I mean, you're almost going to have to if you're going to visit the studios in the future because, you know, it's going to have a whole land. It's going to be, what, a third of the park or, you know, thereabouts. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, in order to enjoy that, you're going to have to, you know, at least from a peripheral view, know what the heck's going on there, you know?
Absolutely, and because it's like me. Like, I'm all geeked out. I can't wait for the Slinky Dog roller coaster over at Toy Story.
Right.
Because I know Toy Story so much, like everything in Toy Story Land, I'm going to know like the back of my hand, and that's going to make the me have more fun over there, if you follow me. I'm going to be sunk into the whole atmosphere over there because I'm going to know everything.
Exactly.
So, what's up next, partner?
Let's see here. The Celebrate Black History Month at Epcot with guest appearances and new exhibits. Epcot will celebrate Black History Month with special guest author appearances. Three new pieces at the American Adventure Rediscovering America Gallery and new artwork in the Rotunda. Let's see, they're going to have a Black History Month author series. Book signings will be open to all guests and hosted at the American Adventure Pavilion, where books written by each guest author are also available for purchase throughout the month. Let's see here, Saturday, February 6th, Terry McMillan, author of Who Asked You, will be, I guess, signing books and be available for photo ops and stuff. He's a critically acclaimed New York Times best-selling author. Terry McMillan is known for her powerful novels and short stories about African-American women. Let's see here. Then on Saturday, February 13th, Chef G. Garvin, author of Turn Up the Heat with G. Garvin, more than 200 incredible recipes from the chef who keeps it super simple. Acclaimed chef and television host Chef G. Garvin has mastered the art of cooking as well as writing. His first cookbook, Turn Up the Heat with G. Garvin, more than 200 incredible recipes from the chef who keeps it super simple. So he'll be available on the 13th of February. Then on February 27th, Terrence Roberts, author of Lessons from Little Rock. Terrence Roberts, PhD, is one of the Little Rock Nine, a group of history-making African-American students who in 1957 were the first black students ever to attend classes at Little Rock Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. So if you want to see any of those two authors and chefs, or chef, I should say, there's your opportunity. Then they're also going to have new additions to Epcot's Kinsey Collection exhibit. Three new pieces recently have been added to the exhibit inside American Adventure Pavilion, which is open daily. Banneker's, Alamac, and Amphimeris, if I said that right, by Benjamin Banneker, is the mathematical and mechanical work of Benjamin Banneker. Thomas Jefferson, then Secretary of State, read and approved Banneker's work. The almanac was published in 1771. Then they were also added My Bondage and My Freedom by Frederick Douglass is an autobiography recounting Frederick Douglass's life as a slave and that as a free man. Published in 1855, the book is the first edition, and then third and lastly, The Survivor by Elizabeth Catlett is a beautiful linoleum block print inspired by a photograph taken by Dorothy Lange titled Ex-Slave with a Long Memory. The print was created in 1983, so those three things will be on an exhibit in the rotunda there.
I love when they do all this stuff. I'm a history nut. I have the History Channel on all the time.
Yeah.
I should have been a history teacher instead of Pat because I appreciate it more at the parks. You know, when I'm at the American, that's one place I always go into the American Adventure just to see what they have going on for every time I'm down there, because there's always something new in there. Like with Black History Month, with all the new things that they have in there now, like all the time there's things in and out of that. Remember they had the Constitution or something a few years ago?
Yeah, they had a replica.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is good when they roll things in and out, you know, just like any museum. And not that it's exciting, but it's just nice to go to your familiar places and just see some different stuff once in a while. So, yeah, that's all good. It's, again, when you're able to see something different like that, it's a good thing.
Absolutely, and I wish he was cooking for me.
Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah,
I think I've seen his show a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken.
On the Food Network?
Yeah. I'm just not sure if it's the same guy, but probably is.
Yeah, well, you're in and out. You don't watch it as much as I do.
Intermittently, that's a good way to look at it. But yeah, so all of those things will be happening over at Epcot during the month of February.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. We did mention this again last week or whenever it was, but they are going to Disney has announced an expansion to the ESPN Wide World of Sports with a 8,000-seat venue aimed at cheerleading and dance events. So I think we were speculating on what the purpose was, but at least what Disney's saying now is it is solely for cheerleading and dance events, which makes you wonder if this ties into Indiana Jones over at the studios.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Remember I kept saying that?
I think
they're going to be tearing that down, my friends.
Yeah, at least clearing it out to make room for a potential Star Wars attraction. So, you know, it doesn't say here, at least it won't bore everyone with the whole article, but I don't see any reference here to the studios or anything like that. But, and again, it may have totally nothing to do with it, but I'd be willing to bet it does.
Dan, on our show, we do predictions. And
right.
We are predicting that this is the reason why. We kind of seen the writing on the wall. When this article came out originally, that was the first thing I thought of, because like, why would they be going out of their way, like with all the cookie jars that they have their hands in right now? Why would they be building another cookie jar, to mess with all everything that's going on?
Yeah, I mean, and that was one of the only things that we kind of paused at, why they would leave Indiana Jones open, because they do hold so many cheerleading and dance events and other things over there. But if what they're saying here is true, that they're basically going to make a facility that would, allow them to do everything that they do currently at the Indiana Jones, theater, if you will, then that takes that problem off the table. So if they were going to close it, or they are going to close it, as soon as this is built, I don't know if it says, let me see here, if it's a date of when it will be done. It's set to begin in February, that's this month, and be completed by mid-2017. So I don't know if that lines up with the, construction over at the studios, but it would seem that would work. At least, they're still a long ways out, and mid-2017 isn't, maybe a year and 3 months away or whatever it is. So it's not really that far. So, yeah, that probably makes perfect sense.
Well, the way I'm looking at it is because they're saying 2018 there should be some kind of something done with Star Wars Land by then. You know what I'm saying? By then, they'll be in full bore working on both Star Wars and Toy Story Land. But my point is I think the other reason they have to do this is they have to get the dance out of there, because when Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land opens up, I don't think there's going to be the room. They're not going to want the cheerleaders in there now, because it doesn't affect the crowd flow that much. But could you imagine all these cheerleaders coming down with Star Wars and Toy Story Land? You're not going to be able to move in that park. They have to move the facility. I think it's more of a necessity than it is anything else.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, the studios wasn't that busy or whatever. I mean, they welcomed them in and you know, they like taking the money and having them at their hotels and all that stuff. But I would agree. I mean, the studios, once this gets built out, those two lands you mentioned, it's going to be, you know, the park to go to at least for a couple of years till the newness wears off. So you're going to have, I would guess, record crowds going to the studios every day. And that's the last thing you need is 30 buses full of cheerleaders and their parents and chaperones and all that goes with that. It would just add to the bottleneck over there that there's probably going to be every morning getting into that park.
Absolutely. Plus, it's not even, and then look at the other hand, it's not going to be good and safe and for the parents with their kids worrying about, when they're down there, they're focused on, they're going to the parks and having a good time, and they'll still be able to do that, but they're focused on their kids cheering. So when you have that crowded of a park and you're trying to organize the cheerleading competition with the parents and all, I think it would be a little stress on them too with all the crowds and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be better for the, you know, the competitiveness of the, you know, what they're there for, to be at that venue over at the Wide World of Sports.
And it fits better there.
Yeah, obviously it goes better. But, you know, like you were saying, they can kind of focus on what they're really there for and, you know,
not worried about
parks.
Millions of people roaming around them all day.
Yeah, enjoy that at night, or I'm sure they get an off day here and there, and then they can worry about the parks. But they'll kind of keep them, they're at Disney World, but they're not actually in a theme park where there's many more distractions, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And the noise, you know how crowd, I mean, noisy the studios are going to be once, it's going to be packed. It's going to be ridiculously packed. I mean, it's going to be, you're not going to find an off day there, I don't think, for a good year or two.
No, I would think not. But
the good thing is all the friendship boats will be headed towards the studios, while my friendship boat's headed towards Epcot.
There you go.
Me and you can go over and get some Mexican La Cava tequila margaritas, buddy, and have a good day. Eat around the world in peace.
Get a maelstrom.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know about that again. That
I know.
Hot.
That
it burnt
didn't
my
sound
mouth.
Too appetizing from what John said. Let's see what else here. Club Disney at Disney's Hollywood Studios to move to seasonal operation. Last chance to visit Mickey, Minnie, Chip, Dale, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and Pluto at Sunset Showcase for the season. Looks like they're going to run this periodically here. The final day of regular operation will be Saturday, February 6th, so that's now, from 11 to 4, so it closed for the season. It'll reopen on December 1st in Sunset Showcase near Rock and Roller Coaster. Mickey, Minnie, Chip, Dale, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and Pluto are joined by a live DJ playing today's top 40 hits. I've never seen this, have you?
No, that opened right after we were there last, and it's going to be closed before we're there again.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I mean, I can cut a rug, man. I can dance.
Yeah.
I'm not even fronting.
Let's see here. Yeah.
I can bust a move.
Yeah, Sunset Showcase is also the home to the hard ticket event Club Villain, which is set to continue in the space. So, yeah, if that's something you or your kids enjoy, be aware of that. Let's see here. Over to your favorite park we go. Come on, computer.
The Animal Kingdom?
New Lion Guard adventure begins this weekend at Disney's Animal Kingdom. A new experience based on the hit Disney Junior animated series, The Lion Guard, begins Saturday, February 7th, 2016 at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The adventure gets underway by picking up a Lion Guard adventure map at one of the park's merchandise locations to begin a park-wide search for the five Lion Guard characters: Kion, the fierce leader of the Lion Guard; Bunga, a brave and fearless honey badger; Fuli, that sounds right, a confident cheetah; Bishi, a friendly and good-natured hippo; and Ono, an intelligent egret. So this is, let's see, the character statues are hidden throughout the park. Kion, the son of Simba, can be found in the African section of the park. Ono, the egret, can be found near the Tree of Life. The Bishi, Bishi, however you say that, the hippo is hidden in Harambe. Once all five characters are found, adventurers can head to Rafiki's Planet Watch to where cast members induct participants into the Lion Guard with the special pledge, fun activities, and a Lion Guard button identifying them as honorary members. Rafiki will join the newest inductees for a photo op. So that's pretty cool that they're going to have this, you know, kind of like the, what is that other thing they do over there with the...
with Russell. He goes around. Yeah, it's the adventurers or...
Yeah, something like that. But that I've actually done, or at least partially done.
Yeah, this kiosk is set up throughout the park and you go around and explore. You're an explorer. It's Explorers Club.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so this is, I was, you know, reading through the story, I almost thought that maybe this was going to replace that, because that's been out, 5 years now? Or it seems like it's been 5 years. But what I'm getting at is they're going to run both of them.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, the Lion Guard Adventure will be available through the end of March 2016. So this is a limited time engagement, if you will. But maybe if it's popular, they'll keep it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be also, there's back at Conservation Station will be the home of the Lion Guard experience. And there's going to be included Lion Guard music, videos, and special look at Disney Junior and Disney Junior Disney Nature's new shorts from the series. It's unbelievable. A nature show hosted by the Lion Guard, animated Bunga and the Honey Badger, and Ono the Egret featuring live-action wildlife footage. That's pretty cool. It'll get the kids more into wildlife.
Yeah, and get more people out to Conservation Station. So, that's pretty well thought out, where the statues are spread out through the park, as with the adventurers thing there. It'll get people in places they wouldn't normally go, so that's all good.
Yeah, I mean, that's it makes you explore.
Exactly. Let's see here. Fulton's Crab House at Disney Springs closing for a major remodel later this year. Let's see here. The Orlando Sentinel is reporting that Fulton's Crab House will be closing in early April 2016 to begin a major remodel. Documents filed with the state of Florida indicate that the closure will result in the layoff of 214 workers. The restaurant is expected to reopen later in the year. Like most Disney eateries at Disney Springs, Fulton's is operated by a third party, in this case, Levy Restaurants. Many of the original downtown Disney restaurants are upgrading their offerings with the arrival of the brand new additions to Disney Springs. The Boathouse, Marimota Asia, and the upcoming STK Orlando are all bringing high-end dining to the area, forcing the older locations to up their game to remain competitive. So, I guess that's much needed. It's been a while. They're going to, like the story indicates, step up their game, which is good for us guests that frequent the restaurants down there.
Absolutely. I mean, you kind of seen the writing on the wall. I mean, I've heard rumors of this with Fulton's. I've also heard rumors of Bongo's having to do something and a couple of the other restaurants. And, you know, we spoke about we got a show coming out next week that we recorded about of the restaurant, and this is some of the reasons why we talked about on that show. You know, new stuff makes you walk away from some of the other things. Don't mean they're good, bad, or indifferent, but it's nature. You want to try the new thing.
Yeah, the shiny new penny, right? Mm-hmm. So, that's going to happen, and it's inevitable, but, you know, once you make your way through the new restaurants, you might go back to some of your favorites or what have you. I mean, I'd be willing to bet, just like malls do. I know when I worked at the Disney store, written in most of the contracts are that you have to keep your store current and that you can't just, you know, open a store and leave the same sign up for, 10 years or whatever. Every year or 18 months or something. I forget how the language is in the contracts, but you got to kind of keep things up with the times. Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if with these third-party operators down there at Disney that there isn't something in the contract that they need to do this. Maybe not every 18 months, but, it just can't remain the same forever and ever and ever. So maybe that has something to do with it. Or they just see the writing on the wall that if they don't, up their game. They're going to lose a lot of business. I mean, they're going to lose business regardless. There's no doubt about it. But they have no chance at all if they just keep the same old, you know, look the same old way. They're going to probably have to do something with the aesthetics and, you know, maybe a freshening up of the menu or come up with some other, you know, some other ways to at least get their piece of the pie. No pun intended.
Yeah, I think that if they up their game, they could keep their business up, because I think that the crowds at downtown at Disney Springs are going to go tenfold compared to what they were 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's to get overflow, I mean, you know, some of these restaurants, you're not going to be able to get a reservation. I mean, I tried and had a little difficult time with the Boathouse when we went, and, you know, you still have to eat. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing if you had to eat at Fulton's.
Absolutely not.
You might be disappointed that you didn't get the restaurant you want, but if it's dinner time and you're hungry, you got to eat somewhere, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm sure the other thing is they got to up their game a little bit, too, to go. I mean, it might even be Disney, like you said. This might have been in the contract for them. Yo, you need to update to go with the whole flow that we're having going down here. You know, Fulton's
right.
Might not fix the exact architecture. They might want them to change the paint schemes and stuff like that to more fit in with Disney Springs is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, I mean, I think it's all good. I think there'll probably be, I would bet, there's going to be better outside seating there. There's probably going to be upgrades to that, because that seems to be the trend in all of downtown Disney. All the new docks out, all the new eating areas out on the waterway, you know what I'm saying? The new docks that have been built, the new decks, I mean, not docks, the new decks for almost every restaurant that they've built now has outside eating areas.
Right. So. Yeah. And it's going to benefit them as well. I mean, you know, if they have a snazzy new place right on the... I mean, face it, their location, Fulton's, is a great location. Yeah, it's probably one of the best down there, even with the new restaurants coming online. So they have a lot going for them. So, yeah.
Seeing the old Empress Lily is one of the things that I fell in love with. I still remember the very first year going down to Sascaula and all of a sudden, popping out was the first thing I saw was that riverboat in
right.
the light. You know what I mean? How you know how dark it is when you're riding down the Sascaula about 8-9 at night.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden the sky opens up, man. It's like you're hitting. Must feel how when you're driving through the desert and Vegas shows up.
Right.
Because that's exactly what it was. It was like all of a sudden it's dark as could be. All you see is the faint treehouse lights. Because the college students were in there then, and then another boat would pass you in the dark, and the next thing you know, it lit up like a Christmas tree.
Right. Yeah, and it was, you know, at that time, it was pretty much the big, well, except for the big mountain.
World of Disney, the Rainforest Cafe.
Right, exactly. Except for that, it was probably the biggest structure down there, and it did catch your eye. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it was at the World of Disney in the Rainforest. I mean, you roamed around there, and it was like I was like a kid in a candy store, and then going over to Pleasure Island and all. But still, as you're heading to Pleasure Island, you couldn't take your eyes off the boat, the Fulton's
right.
Crab boat. You just couldn't. It's that enticing. It was like the weenie, like you talked about, of downtown Disney.
Yep, absolutely.
So it needs to be back there again.
Yep.
Next?
Let's see here. Performer lineup for the 2016 Flower and Garden Festival's Garden Rock Concerts has been released. Disney today released the performer lineup for the 2016 Garden Rocks Concerts, part of the Epcot International Food and Garden Festival. March 4th through 6th, the orchestra, starring former members of ELO. March 11th through 13th, Starship, starring Mickey Thomas. March 18th through 20th, Little River Band. March 25th through 27th, Village People, YMCA. We all remember that.
Time to stay at the Y. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
April 1 through 3, Hermits, starring Peter Noon. April 8 through 10, The Guess Who. April 15 through 17, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. April 22nd through 24th, Brian Howe, former lead singer of Bad Company. April 29th through May 1st, Georgia Satellites. May 6th through 8th, Gin Blossoms. May 13th through 15th, Darlene Love. I never heard of her or him or them or whatever. May 20 through 22nd, Night Ranger, and May 27 through 30, closing the festival, will be the Spinners. So if you're going to be down there this spring, those are some of the bands or performers that you can see during the this year's Flower and Garden Festival.
There's quite a few I would like to see. I mean, that's the exciting thing that I'll give Disney, tip my cap to them. They really don't need that, all these performers, but they do. I mean, they're not charging you anything extra for this. I'm waiting for eventually the extra $5 for the concert series or something. But
right.
You know what I mean? It is nice to have, because I said I love ELO, Bad Company's good, and there's quite a few. I mean, I would even giggle at all the songs that the Village People were from my childhood, so I would probably even enjoy some of them.
Right.
You know, but it's a nice thing to have along with all the booths, and it's a nice event.
Oh, absolutely. It's an added bonus, and it's, free with the cost of admission, so it really isn't free, but like you said, they don't have to do it. The fact that they do just adds to the whole festival, and, we always manage to at least see a couple of songs as we're making our way around the promenade, and even if you don't sit there and actually watch it, you know, when you're a couple of countries away, you can certainly hear the band, and it just adds to the whole festival. Atmosphere there at the festivals.
The festivities.
Yep, absolutely.
It's awesome, because I remember, and I could be wrong, because I've been to 4 or 5 Flower and Gardens, and I've seen groups, but I've also, I think I remember the first couple years, and I could be wrong, so don't go yelling at me on social media, but wasn't the first couple years they just had the topiaries? They didn't have any of the groups or anything.
Yeah.
I know they didn't have the food booths, for sure.
Right.
But
yeah.
They didn't have they just had the topiaries, and they had, like, Home Depot out to teach you how to garden. It was more like that. They would have home improvement people there.
Yeah, they pretty much took it from the Flower and Garden Festival. They've had the performers for a long time.
Yeah.
That was so successful, and, the stadium tends to fill up, for most groups pretty regularly. So they pulled that from them. But you're right. At the beginning, it was a much simpler festival. And like you said, or you will be saying on the show that's going to be released midweek, it was just something that most of us just stumbled upon the first time. It wasn't that, oh, great, they're going to have performers there. You kind of, if you showed up at Epcot on that day, it was just, look at this. They have a band here. And, depending on who was playing, it might have been something that, a group that you had heard or you liked, years ago. And, and again, from what we read, most of these are bands that are long past their prime, obviously. But we are. yeah. But I mean, it's good that Epcot gives these folks an opportunity to still, do their thing, and, people remember them and enjoy them for what they are. I mean, like I always say, it isn't like Van Halen's playing there or some band that's still touring, but, it's pretty cool to see some of these people. I mean, when we went down there for Flower and Garden, I forget who we saw now. I shouldn't have brought it up, but I think it was the lead singer from Styx, I believe. And of course, it wasn't the whole original band, but it was the lead singer. And, it sounded pretty good. And they played, sets of all those old songs that we remember. And it was a good time. So, these things are great.
Yeah, me and Brenda, a couple years ago, we seen a few down there. We seen a couple good groups down there. But, like, a couple years ago, we seen Journey and Def Leppard, which they were awesome. The leads, Def Leppard was still together, and then Journey had that new Asian singer that they found on, I think they found him on YouTube or something, but he sounds just like Steve Perry.
Right.
And it was like it brought us back to our childhood. They were rocking, they were having a good time, and I'm into all this. It kind of brings you, what I like about this music is when you're down there, it brings you back to some of your childhood times. It brings back, it invokes memory.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I love about it. It's a nice added feature. Like I said, we originally went down there. It was all the people from, and they still have this with Flower and Garden, but it was only the people from, like, HGTV and this old Home Improvement,
right.
Home Depot. It was all those exhibits.
Right.
And then it blossomed into, no pun intended, into the music and the food booths. And it's only made the festival. Dude, I almost think the Flower and Garden Festival is as good as Food and Wine to me, because it isn't as crowded, and you get different offerings.
Yeah, that's a definitely a plus. I mean, the bottom line is the Food and Wine Festival is so popular and so many people love it, and actually plan trips specifically to visit. I guess that would be the difference, at least from my perspective. I book trips for food and wine. I wouldn't book a trip for flower and garden. I like spring trips, and we book them, but it's more about the time of year and when we like to go more than it is for the festival. But like I said, for food and wine, I would specifically book a trip for it, even if it wasn't a time that we would want to go, if that makes any sense.
See, we've been down there quite a bit too, because my wife's birthday is the beginning of March, my mother-in-law's is in February, and sometimes we would plan trips to, part of the birthday present was headed down to Florida.
Right.
And so we would go in March and April.
Yeah.
Because our the anniversary of the day me and my wife met is in April. Our real anniversary is January 7th. Like it's in the, but it's called, most of our the day we met was April 6th. So it's kind of like that's our true anniversary in our eyes.
Right.
And we've gone down quite a few times in March and April for that anniversary instead of going for the January one.
Right.
Know,
Well, yeah.
traveling in January kind of stinks because we like to drive.
Right,
We've
right.
done it. We've done January and February, but you're always worried about hitting that ice storm on the way down.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and for us, for the spring trips, I mean, it's always been, you're just coming out of winter. It's been a long, cold, snowy winter, and going to Florida just sounds so good. So that's the
Yeah,
reason why we've gone
exactly.
a
We want
lot.
the heat quicker.
Exactly. It kind of accelerates spring, and then by the time you get back, it's getting to be spring up here, or at least heading that way. So that was our rationale. And when the kids were small, it was also spring vacation, when we could pull them out of school and all that. So I agree with you. I've probably been to Flower and Garden more than food and wine, even as much as I've gone to food and wine,
Exactly.
just because of the fact that we've done a lot of spring trips.
Oh, I love them both, so I won't put down either one. But the thing I'm saying is usually food. If you don't go during actual spring break, Flower and Garden is a lot more relaxed than what Food and Wine is.
Yeah, it's just less crowded. That's
Exactly.
just the bottom line.
You
So,
got
that's
anything
good.
else?
This is, let's see here. Eight area restaurants hit by data breach. Eight Central Florida restaurants owned by Landry's Incorporated were part of a nationwide data breach going back as far as May 2014. Bubba Gump, Landry Seafood, and Mitchell's Fish Market were among the restaurants impacted, as well as Yak and Yeti at Disney's Animal Kingdom, Morton's Oceanair Seafood Room, and the Chart House. Landry's Incorporated released a list of the restaurants around the country. Landry said criminal attackers managed to install a malicious program on payment processing devices. The program was designed to search for data from the magnetic strip of the payment cards that had been swiped. Cardholder name, card number, expiration date, internal verification code, as the data was being routed through affected systems, the company said in a statement. Landry said it discovered the attacks after reports of a malicious activity on credit and debit cards used at their restaurants. So the company is urging customers to report any suspicious activity on their cards. And for more information, they can go to LandrysInc.com. So I'll just let's see here. The Yak and Yeti in Lake Buena Vista, Florida, at the Animal Kingdom. These breaches occurred May 8th through December 3rd of 2015. So if you were there during those dates, and in particular if you were at the Yak and Yeti, you should check your credit card statements to see if there was any
Make sure
charges that
nobody
were
bought a
funny.
TV on you.
Exactly. Or got some fried wontons on you or something.
Yeah, speaking of that, our buddy John Peters is I mean our buddy John Peters is at the Animal Kingdom today, and so is our good buddy Bob Sikon. Bob actually texted me saying he has our Disney, he has our shirt on, he has Lampy on, and he has ADRs today at the Yak and Yeti.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to a nice food review from Bob on my Yak and Yeti.
I'm sure he will do one. That's his forte. Let's see here. Disney World Saratoga Springs hit by multiple burglaries. The Orange County Sheriff's Office has been investigating a recent rash of burglaries at Walt Disney World Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. There have been more than 20 cases of electronics stolen since late December, according to a sheriff's report. Often the burglars obtained access through rear sliding glass doors. Last month, sheriff deputies working on anti-burglary detail at Saratoga Springs arrested two suspects trying to get into a room through a French door. When they were spotted, the two took off to Disney Springs, where sheriff deputies stopped them. Deputies found the pair with several pieces of electronic equipment, including seven iPhones, a laptop, and an iPad that belonged to victims in two other burglaries at Disney's Old Key West Resort. The sheriff arrested the pair. I'll read their names. Jake Lauren Blair, 25, and Minoska Gillian, 19, both of Orlando, on burglary and grand theft charges. They remained in jail this week, blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. Disney said it worked closely with law enforcement throughout the investigation and has added additional security patrols in place. Disney has also worked with its housekeeping team to be sure that patio doors that may have been unlocked by guests were locked, and literature has been left in the rooms to remind guests of the importance of locking doors and securing valuables.
Yeah, put your stuff in the safe. Every time we go, we put it in the safe, and I just do it because It gives you peace of mind. And you don't want to tempt anybody either. You know what I'm saying? So put it away.
Yeah, I mean, I must say I'm guilty of not doing that all the time. Like when I bring my laptop, I never put it in. Actually, it wouldn't fit in the safe.
Well, I actually put it in the – I bury it in a drawer.
Right.
So at least you're proactive about it. Out of sight, out of mind. My point is don't leave – and I'm not saying you're wrong, but this is the world we live in a lot of ways. If you're staying in a unit that has – you could see, like, first of all, if you're staying in any unit, close your blinds so people can't see in your window.
Right.
Because you ever notice that? Like, I walk through, I'm walking through Riverside, and during the day, if the window's open, you can't help but look in because you're standing right next to it. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, that's true. And you're right. You see that all the time. It's crazy.
Exactly. But my point, so if you're going, I could see if you're in the room for the day, fine. If you want light, blah, blah, blah. But if you're headed to the parks, close the blinds. And put your stuff, if you don't want to put it in the safe, at least bury it in the drawer so it's out of sight, out of mind. Don't give anybody any reason. If they look through the window and see two laptops, an iPad, and an iPhone laying on the table, it might entice somebody.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I know I'm wrong for doing this, but, you know, I just feel so safe and secure at Disney World that, I like to think that, you know, stuff like that doesn't happen, even though I know it does.
But on the other hand, I'm also thinking of the maid, too, okay? This is how I look at it, and this is just Doug being the anal Doug that he is. I don't want to leave my laptop, my iPhone, or iPad out on the table or something. Say the maid's cleaning up, and you left your soda there, and she spills it. Now it's a problem that you don't need to have.
Right.
Or she accidentally knocks it off the table and breaks it, or trips over your charging cord. Put your stuff away so you don't have – it's problems – and then you're going to be mad at the maid because she broke your laptop. Not saying you, Dan. I'm just speaking
right,
in general.
Right.
You leave it plugged in. It's in the way. It's on the table. She knocks it off and breaks it. No, I mean, be proactive. They're coming in. They have a job to do. How about you make their job a little bit easier than leave all your crap out?
Yeah.
Wrap it up before you head to the park. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You got your SLR camera, the digital one that's worth $1,500 you're not taking for the park today, and you leave it on top of the sink, and then she accidentally goes to pick it up to wipe the sink down and breaks it. Now this poor girl or guy or whoever's cleaning your room is in trouble for that.
Right.
Put it away. Be responsible for your stuff. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and I would say here, and this happens all the time. I mean, you know, when you think of the sheer amount of rooms on that property down there, you know, you'd think it would even happen more often than it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, this happened to be a lot of burglaries in one area in a short period of time. So, you know, it seems like, oh, my God, the sky is falling. But,
exactly.
You know, by and large, Disney security is awesome, and they do a good job at, you know, curtailing this type of stuff. I mean, I think we were talking off air, for a while there was an issue with the pizza delivery companies or restaurants in general delivering takeout food to the resorts, because this is a big, huge thing, particularly in the DBC resorts. A lot of people get takeout from local eateries, you know, off property, you know, especially if they're staying on an extended stay, they're with family, whatever. You know, people order Chinese food, but, you know, pizza, you know, predominantly is the one that gets ordered the most. And I remember being down there one vacation. This was, you know, a handful of years ago at Saratoga. And we came back from the parks. We had seen Wishes or Illumination. So we got back, you know, 11 o'clock, whatever time it was. And there was like 15 or 20, you know, pizza menus that had been kind of put under our door, and they were right inside when we went into the room. And again, what was happening is all of these pizza delivery companies were just flooding the, you know, the DVC resorts, Saratoga, Old Key West, you know, all of those, you know, because they want to get those people coming back, you know, quote unquote, late night. That the food court shut down at 11 for the most part. So, you know, they were trying to get all that business. But the point to my story is Disney stopped that practice of allowing pizza delivery companies to deliver directly to the rooms on their property. You can still do it, but you have to go up to the, you know, the check-in desk or the main building, depending on what resort you're at, to pick up your food now. So, you know,
stop says strangers from roaming around.
Yeah.
They don't know who's there. They don't have real identity. I know they stop them at the booths and all, but you still don't really know who you're dealing with.
Right, and then, you know, you don't know what that person may or may not be doing. I mean, no disrespect to anybody that's delivering pizza, but,
no.
You know, I can just speak to a you know, an issue that happened up here. I mean, that a piece of pizza delivery company or one individual for this particular company up at the school that I work at, they were bringing drugs onto the campus that way, and, you know, it looked all legit, and, you know, so however they worked it out, I don't know the details, but people were, you know, ordering a pizza with a side order of drugs, if you will, and, you know, nobody would think twice about it. Oh, it's just a pizza guy, and he's, you know, giving door-to-door service here. So, you know, that stuff happens, unfortunately. And but
at Disney is the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, exactly. That's my larger point. I mean, yeah, it's terrible to hear stuff like this happening, but be assured that they're doing everything they can to keep this stuff at bay. And like you said, it's the exception, not the rule. And, you know, don't anybody freak out that it's not safe down there, because it's probably one of the most safest places you'll ever go in this world is on Disney property.
Exactly. And I know I was standing on my soapbox about the thing with the room and all, but my point with that was is the same thing that I talked about when I go to somebody's house. They know I'm working on the wall or I'm fixing something and they don't move anything. Yeah, and then they're going to yell at me because I broke their mirror, their picture frame, or dropped off something that great-grandmom left them on the mantle. If it really meant that much to you, you should have moved it to begin with.
Yeah, that happens with my guys. Like, when we go in to paint you know, a unit up there in a faculty home where, you know, there's a family living, I actually had to make up a paper. And that's one of the things that we stress, that, you know, before the painters arrive, you should box up all of your knickknacks, personal items, valuables, and take them out of the room. Because, you know, most people did the right thing without telling them they would do that. But you always get the couple that don't do a thing and just leave the room as is. And that's exactly what happened. One of my painters knocked off an urn or something off of a fireplace mantle, and you know, then they were upset at us, and, you know, yeah, it shouldn't have happened.
Felt bad,
it was an accident, but hey, yeah. If it was that big a deal for you, you should have put it away before we got there. And, you know, it just causes unnecessary
problems.
Exactly. So.
And I deal with it every day, and that's the point. And the way I look at it too, with the room, and I'm trying to help the services out, like Dad. When these people are working. So, I mean, the way I look at it is, if I take 5 minutes to put this stuff away, it's 5 minutes less that they'll get done in my room, and they might get home in a decent time. I'm just more looking at it as I'm trying to be respectful to who's coming in to clean my room, too, because it's not a glorious job.
Right, right.
So who wants to be walking into a room with today with all the different tablets and laptops and all the expensive stuff and toys the kids had, the Nintendo DSs, the Playboy, I mean, the Playboy, the PlayStation stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All the PlayStation Pluses. Put that stuff away. Make your kids clean up. Put the... I know it's supposed to be vacation, but still show a little respect. Let them come in and clean the room and be done with it instead of having to pick all your junk up.
Yeah.
They're there to clean the room, not clean your stuff up.
I know, and I'll just use Pam from Be Our Guest as an example. I mean, I used to laugh when she said this, but, you know, she actually cleans her room before she leaves in the morning and empties the trash and does all this stuff because, for that very reason, she just, you know, one, she doesn't want to be embarrassed if someone to come into a room that's unkept, but, you know, she would even go so far as to make the bed and stuff, and, you know, I'm not suggesting to go that far.
We don't do that, but I put my suitcase, I kick everything away so the person coming in has a clean cleaning area.
Right.
They're not tripping over my stuff. We stack our suitcases up. We put everything back in the drawers. We might throw up the bedspread. We don't make it and then we put our tip, like you said, and we leave. But we put all the towels in the tub. We do everything we're supposed to so that it expedites their job. We don't want them having to clean up. And I'm not a pig.
Right. Nah, that's the right thing to do. We do the same thing.
So now we got to go to our good buddy John down at the Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
So we're going to go record another live interview with our good buddy John. You ready?
Hello.
Hey, Johnny. Welcome at the Animal Kingdom.
Dennis,
huh?
How you doing?
Jumbo.
Jumbo. So how's the day going, Johnny?
Good. It's a little overcast here today and kind of chilly, but it's a beautiful day at Disney, so...
So, sorry, we can't get you to pull up a stool. So what can you pull up over there at the Animal Kingdom?
I can pull up a park bench. I'm standing outside Kilimanjaro Safari, so.
You were just on the safari. How was it? Was the lion awake?
No. Like I said, it's kind of chilly here today. So they're especially the big cats, they're all curled up. So was the cheetahs, all curled up in a big ball. So.
Yeah,
oh, that's smart.
The heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the plan for today?
Got here this morning, rode Expedition Everest with my son, and got it done. Now we did Kilimanjaro Safaris with a large group I was waiting for. It was the first time I ever did it with 14 people, so that was kind of fun. And me and the wife are probably going to hang here a little bit, and then we're going to eventually make our way over to Epcot, of course. So
sounds like a good time. I mean, you headed over... are you doing anything else? Are you doing dinosaurs today? Did you get to see anything with the River of Lights or Avatar Land? Anything new over there?
I've got a lot of the construction pictures to post. You can definitely see Pandora coming in. You can actually see the floating mountains from the parking lot now. So they're really getting tall. And the construction I guess that would be the seating area for Rivers of Light is taking up a large portion of area over by Expedition Everest now. There's quite a few construction cranes sticking up here and there out here. So
it's making me jealous. Hopefully it takes over all of Expedition Everest. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the way when I was there last, John, they started the seating pretty much at the water's edge or close to it, and I was curious as to how far it was going to come up to, like, where the pedestrian road is there that goes into the Fat Pass return area for Expedition Everest. You think it's going to come out of the ground pretty high there, or can you really tell?
I don't think so. I think what they're doing is building down into the riverbank or into the stream bed itself, you know, on the banks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it's going to ruin any of the sight lines for looking at Mount Everest or anything like that. And what I can see now,
you're
really
moving into a bad area, Johnny.
Oh, sorry. I have this one.
That's better.
Okay. From what I can see now, you really can't tell how high it's going to go, but I don't think it's going to be very high at all, so...
Well, that's good that they're going to still keep respect, I guess, the vegetation and all of the foliage around the lagoon there or whatever they're calling it. So, when it's all said and done, it's obviously going to look different, but it's not going to impact the sight lines, like you were saying, from the pedestrian roadway there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I said, there's construction everywhere. There's a couple. I even saw some of the Indian construction, I think, for Tiffin's restaurant over there. So, you know, even, Hollywood Studios has got stuff going on. Disney Springs has got stuff going on. And Animal Kingdom's got plenty of construction. So
even Wide World of Sports has stuff going on with the new theater they're making down there, the new stadium.
Yeah. Everything's getting built. And, you know, I think they need construction workers, Doug. So.
Yeah, I'm praying. Soon. Let me get through this surgery this week. I'll be packing my bags and moving down. That's my goal.
So, John, do you have lunch ADRs, or are you just winging it, or what are your plans for lunch? I'm just curious.
Last time we were here, we ate at the new African area. You know, they have some of the different kebabs and
yeah, the
stuff
Harambe.
Like that.
Yeah. Harambe Market there.
Marketplace, yeah. Yeah, we're probably going to hit that again. And then there's also a little place over here that has a teriyaki chicken bun. And so we're going to get one of those. It's on a steam bun. That was really good, we had last time. So probably going to do both of those. And then we'll probably be back out at Epcot later on just snacking around again. So.
Let us know what you have. Also, look out. Bob Sycon's there. Have you ever, you never met Bob in person yet, correct?
No, I haven't met him, and I sent him a message last night because I had seen he had posted some pictures, but I didn't get back with him yet and to what park he's going to be in today. So
he's at the Animal Kingdom. He actually has reservations today at the Yak and Yeti.
Okay, all right. He's going to try your fried wontons then.
Absolutely. He has a WDW Main Street T-shirt on that he got.
Okay.
Look for Lampy on the front. You'll see him. Now, are you wearing your sign or no?
Yeah, I've got to get back. Well, I can't figure out a way to get it stuck on my sweater because I can't take my jacket off yet. So if I can figure out a way to get it stuck on there, I can get it on. But yeah.
So
yeah,
so it's battery operated, John. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's this little battery operated thing, and it has magnets on both sides, and you just put it. You know, it works great on a T-shirt because the magnet fits on both sides of the T-shirt and holds it in place. So if I can figure out a way to get it stuck.
Dude, you got to get some pictures of that so we can post them on Facebook and on the Twitter account.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I bet. No problem.
It looked a lot bigger when I saw your post yesterday or last night, whenever it was. To me, it looked a lot bigger. I thought you were just kidding, but it sounds like you actually are going to wear this device and do some advertising for us.
Yeah. It's about the size of a happy birthday button.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw it on and wear it around. If I don't get it on here, I'm gonna definitely have it on over at Epcot. So.
Well, that'll be awesome. At dark, it'll show up.
Yeah, exactly. So.
You know, we'll have to get you. What you'll have to do is stand in front of all the store entrances, so when people walk by, they read your button.
There you go.
When they're on a ride, you put it on to make sure that when you're in the queue, they can see you. They'll be able to read it in the queue pretty good, too.
Yeah, the new place it gets dark. Well, actually, like I said, it's overcast today, so it'll show up just fine. So even outside, so.
How hot is it supposed to get today?
52, 56, something like that, so.
Oh, that's pretty cold for Florida.
Yes, and another chilly day. I don't know how we're doing it, but we're picking out the chilliest days of the entire winter to come out here, so.
But the positive thing, the parks are probably not as crowded, are they?
It's not bad at all out here. I think we waited for 5 minutes for Mount Everest, and we waited about 10 for the expedition. For the Kilimanjaro. So, not bad
at
all.
Can't beat that.
No, not at all.
So what's next on the agenda? Where are you headed to right now after you hang up?
I'm probably gonna head out to the car and get a bag and get that sign, get that on, and stuff like that. And probably just walk around. I think my son's gonna run off with the group of kids that he's out here with. So they're probably going to go ride Expedition Everest again, and I think me and the wife will probably, maybe I can talk her. No, I can't get her on Dinosaur.
How about Honey Ash? How about going into the Tree of Life? See the Bug's Life.
Either that, or she has to see the Lion King show every time we're out here. So we might end up doing that. So
that's pretty cool. Then you'll go to Harambe Village afterward.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll try to get her to do Bug's
Life.
What's that?
I'm loving the music that's playing.
A little bit here and there, right?
So,
yeah. I'm standing over by the waterfall. You know, when you get off of Kilimanjaro Safaris, and that gorilla's out sometimes. He's not out today, so.
It's still too cold for him, too?
I guess. I don't know. Well, these are African animals, so I imagine it is kind of chilly for them. So.
Now, we're looking forward to all the posts and the pictures on Facebook, and you have a great day, my friend. I don't want to hold you up from all your buddies.
Hey, no problem. Like I said, me and the wife are probably going to split off anyway. I'm not big on hanging out with a giant group of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we won't tell any of them. Hope none of them listen to the show.
It sounds like you have an awesome, well, you've already had an awesome day, but it sounds like you got some great stuff planned. And like you said, you'll be heading over to Epcot later and partaking in some of the offerings around the World Showcase.
You betcha, and I hate to crush my name or anything, but I think I'm going to go get me a Starbucks right now instead of a beer. So
there you go.
Starbucks solo.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll have to call you Latte instead of Bass.
No, well, I'll get that Bass later, believe me.
Yeah,
It's
still before noon, John, so you've got 55 minutes to drink coffee.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we don't want everybody thinking you have a problem and sending in words to us. So drink your coffee before noon, have your beer afternoon, and we'll all be good around here.
I think we can handle that.
Well, you have a great day, my friend. Thanks for checking in, and you'll be doing the show with us next week, correct?
You betcha. No, we'll do a little review out here and cover some of the stuff that we get done today. So
all the food that you've eaten. That makes us jealous.
Exactly. So we're trying to get you guys down here so we can hit the beer garden together. So
that's going to happen, John. You're going to have to deal with me all through my 50s, buddy. We're going to be me, you, Dennis, and Bob are going to be four crotchety old men roaming around the parks.
And leave the wives somewhere, and we'll just go around and get crazy with everybody.
We'll have to get Born to be Wild WDW Main Street t-shirts on us.
There you go.
The four old men. But, you'll have to do some extra talking probably next week for me, John. So keep that voice straight and get ready to record next weekend with Dennis.
All right, sounds good, and best of luck on your surgery.
We're pollinators!
Fresh fruit and flowers.
Get next to us, Bob, for our marvelous powers.
If it weren't for the fact that we like the taste, you'd be out there wallowing in shoulder-high waste.
Shoulder-high waste!
And if all bugs were wiped off the face of the planet, there'd soon be no human.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.